For our first dog, we wanted a clean slate, to be there from the get-go, from the 8-week mark, when it is love at first sight for the puppy and for you, when you can easily scoop him up with your hands and nuzzle your nose against his soft belly. We had our hearts set so firmly on an Australian Shepherd that we never even thought to go to an animal shelter. Instead, on an early spring night in 1998, my husband and I barreled down the highway from Portland, Maine, to a country town in southern New Hampshire. The breeder had told us on the phone that she had 3 available pups. By the time our car wound up the curving drive to the hilltop farm in the fading light, only one was left, a drowsy petite female. This one was not up to snuff. She had, the breeder explained, too much white, which spilled down her chest and over each paw, in her otherwise auburn coat, to qualify her as a show dog like her father, the impressive prop-wash St. Elmo's Fire, who had a ruff as thick as a lion's mane. The breeder would part with this 2-white pup for $600. We were thinking she might be our anniversary present to each other. I have always loved dogs. Some might say, especially cat lovers, to a fault. Some people come around to dogs. I, the daughter of several generations of dog lovers, was born with this affection, just as I was with a love for patent leather shoes and swimming pools. I love dogs in the sense that I'm aware of dogs' many faults, the great swags of drool, the middle-of-the-night yips, the muddy prints they leave on leather couches and white linen dresses. But they still make my heart leap. I love them in the sense that I consider this deep affection an elemental part of who I am. A writer, a cook, a Midwesterner, an eldest child, a tall woman, and the dog lover. When their guileless eyes look into mine, I feel they see the elemental me, not the human, but the being. As Gertrude Stein wrote, I am because my dog knows me. That makes for a simple equation, no dogs, no me, which sounds about right. Yet for years after I left home and Ruby, our family's exuberant lab mix, I was hopelessly dogless. I couldn't imagine the logistics of having my own pooch as I bounced from one tiny apartment to another, first on a waitress's measly salary, and then on a newspaper reporter's slightly measlier salary. All I had was a long list of names for the pups I would have one day. Fancy, Sister, Bunny, and Stella Rondo, the last inspired by my favorite Eudora Welty story, a name that few, if any, dogs could carry off. Eventually, I married a man who was as nuts about dogs as I was. We bought a roomy, if weary, old house near an ample park. Landlords no longer controlled our lives. We could afford a veterinarian. Scott, my husband, worked at home. After all the years we'd been forced to wait to get a dog, now that we finally could, we were seized with impatience. We wanted one yesterday. Sitting cross-legged on the floor, lightly patting the dozing pup's small, fuzzy back, we began to fall under that spell that canines unwittingly cast. Images of beach walks and car rides with a young Aussie streamed through my mind. Dogs can too easily seem like yours, even a puppy who's having trouble waking from her early evening nap. If we didn't take her tonight, the breeder declared, someone was coming in the morning to look at her. We didn't have a dog bed or food or toys or a crate. Our small yard was not fenced. We named her Dixie Lou Devil Dog, the long name a nod to her show dog pedigree, and the Devil Dog for the tantrum she sometimes threw when we tired a frisbee and attempted to put it away. She woke me with whimpers at 5 a.m. each day. I gave up my morning meditation to sit on the floor in my robe and hold up a ragged piece of sheepskin that Dixie Lou loved to pitch herself at over and over. Her puppy teeth cut my hands like razors when we played tug. She insisted I toss her a tennis ball while I cooked dinner. She dug holes in our newly seeded backyard. Dixie Lou made me impossibly happy. Having a dog was one of those rare things in life, like Paris or the Grand Canyon, that was even better than what I had imagined, way better. Dixie Lou became our canine training wheels. Scott and I learned how to live with a dog, how to train one, and a good deal about how to think like one, at least a high-energy Australian Shepherd who would give her life for the almighty Frisbee. We made some mistakes, despite myriad puppy classes and a library of training tomes. Though we did as books advised and led Dixie Lou over different types of flooring when she was a puppy to familiarize her to the feel of them on her little paw pads, we somehow skipped linoleum, which is why Dixie Lou trembled at the mere sight of those smooth synthetic tiles. She moved across them mincingly like a new ice skater at a teeming rink. This ruined most dog-friendly stores for her, not to mention the vets, where she shook and drooled with anxiety. Until Dixie Lou, I had not realized that linoleum lurks around every corner. We also never thought to introduce Dixie Lou to ceiling fans. When she spotted her first one whooshing away in a hotel hallway, our pup crouched and froze. She peered worriedly at the whirring monster overhead, then pressed herself flat against the wall to avoid walking directly under the turning blades.